All right, both those songs are a blessing. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm glad my sins are under that precious sin cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can wash away your sins. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the right. You know, these lost people you witness to, they demand some evident proof of the gospel's power. And then they say, if you can show me some evident proof of the gospel's power, I'll believe it. That's not what the Bible says. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You believe it, you'll see the power. God's not going to show you the power and then you believe on the basis of that evidence. The evidence is Christ, the gospel of Christ. That's the evidence you got to believe. And you believe that evidence, then the power of God will do its work in your life. For therein, that's in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You don't live the Christian life, and then God saves you. You don't live a righteous life, and then God saves you. You put faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will open the door to a life of faith. People get this thing all backwards. Well, you know, I'm trying to live it. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to clean up. I'm trying to fix up. That's not what it says. You believe the gospel, the power of God saves you, and then when God saves you, in response to you putting faith in the gospel, then you can live by faith. And the whole thing opens up to you. And the Bible says in verse 18, for the wrath of God, and there you lose all the modern religious crowd. Their God is not a God of wrath. Their God is not a God at all. Because if your God has no wrath, he is no God. There's only one true God, and the Bible speaks of the wrath of that God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They call it Turkey Day. They call it Football Day. They can't even one day in the year give thanks to God. They got to kick God out of the one holiday that had something to do with God. Thanksgiving. Go back and look at it. I don't know those men that issued those proclamations were saved. Those men that established the holidays were saved. But they weren't telling you to thank your lucky stars. They weren't telling you to thank fortune. They weren't telling you to thank goodness. They were telling you to thank Almighty God for his providence and his blessings upon your nation. And the more unthankful to God this nation becomes, the more perverse it becomes. It's all right here in the passage. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, a society that says we're not pagan, but we don't want to thank God, you know what they do? They put pilgrim hats on turkeys and muskets in the wings of turkeys. Don't you know that's kind of a silly thing to do? Do you know that no turkey ever wore a pilgrim hat and no turkey ever carried around a muzzle-loading rifle? Of course, they probably can't do that anymore either, because we can't have the turkey with a gun. You know, the kids might see it and freak out. So a country that makes fun of Christians for believing in God thinks it's perfectly rational to believe in rabbits carrying baskets of eggs and flying reindeer and pilgrim turkeys. It's kind of a strange business, don't you think? Anyway, so I can't believe you'd say, just stick around. It's 'tis the most wonderful time of the year for preaching. The invisible things of Him, the creation of the world, clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It didn't start out that way, it ended up that way. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Father, help us tonight to love Your Word, believe Your Word. Lord, help us, please, deliver us from all the foolishness that we've allowed Hollywood and the world's propaganda machines to pour into our hearts and into our minds. Bring us back to the truth and right thinking, we pray. In Jesus' name and amen. If there's no wrath of God, there's no need for the gospel. God is all love and God is all grace. There would be no death of Christ upon the cross. There would be no gospel. There'd be no reason for you to preach anything to anyone. God's love and God's grace would just eventually take everybody to heaven, regardless of what they did or what they believed or how they conducted themselves. If there's no wrath of God, then the death of Christ at Calvary is a vain act of folly. Why should Christ die for our sins if God doesn't punish our sins? It follows that the more men preach the wrath of God, the more sinners will be saved. Because it's only the fear of God's wrath that motivates someone who doesn't love God to move in His direction. But you're not going to hear much preaching about the wrath of God these days. Now the Bible says in verse 19 that that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God has showed it unto them. Verse 21 says, so they are without excuse. And verse 28 says, when they knew God, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now as we've seen, God declares that all lost men and all lost women are in hell with no one to blame but themselves. They are not the victims of some perverse decree of reprobation. They are not the unfortunate losers in the Where Were You Born lottery. Those in the lake of fire will be there because they did not want the true God. Now, an African may not have as much information as an American, and someone living in Utah may not have as much information as someone raised in South Carolina. But God said, every one of you has enough information to move my direction. And if you would move my direction, I would give you additional light as you kept moving in my direction. When you turn and move away from me, I will pronounce my judgment upon you because you evidently did not want me. Now you might know more about God and then say, I don't want Him. Or you might know less about God and then say, I don't want Him. But both testimonies are the same. We will not have this man to reign over us. Give us Caesar, give us Barabbas, away with this Jesus. That's the condemnation. Romans 1 says, everyone has enough information to be condemned. Everyone doesn't start out with enough information to be saved, but everyone starts out with enough information to be condemned. If you would act upon the knowledge that you have whereby you are condemned, that would bring you to the knowledge of salvation. But if you don't act upon that, it's your judgment. Now the conflict is clear. Verse 17, the righteousness of God. Verse 18, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And yet, here's what we want to try and get an understanding of this evening. There are no unrighteous deeds of men discussed until verse 23. The condemnation that falls upon men that is listed in verses 19 through 22 has nothing to do with any deeds which they commit. It has to do with the condition of their heart. Come on. Look at verse 20, verse 19, God manifest. Verse 19, God showed. Verse 20, the invisible things are clearly seen. Verse 20, they're understood. Verse 20, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And as a result of that, their foolish heart was darkened. You have to get way past the condemnation and way past the inexcusable condition of a lost man and way past the wrath of God before God begins to discuss the things that people do who don't want Him to be their God. That's really important. Men are unrighteous because they reject God. Unrighteous deeds are simply the outworking of an unrighteous heart. You do not become unrighteous when you lie. You lie because you are unrighteous. You do not become unrighteous when you lust. You lust because you are unrighteous. It's the root problem that God looks at when He condemns the man, and it's the root problem that Jesus Christ went to the cross to settle. This is why all gospels of works, which is kind of a contradictory term, all preaching of works for salvation shows an ignorance of the Word of God. Because if you could stop doing all of those bad things, you would still be unrighteous. If you could start doing a sufficient number of right things to impress your neighbors, you would still be unrighteous. Let's just pick a few. We'll just pick a few at random. Thou shalt not kill. That's a good one. Do you know how many people there are in your town that have never killed anyone who don't believe in God? God didn't say they're unrighteous because they murdered someone. He said people murder because they are unrighteous. They are not condemned because they committed an act of murder. They are condemned because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We want people to clean up their lives or straighten up their lives or correct things in their lives or improve their lives. Well, you just have a cleaner record when you stood before God and were sentenced to a lake of fire. I don't know about that. I know that's why we have the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. What little preaching men and preaching and teaching men and women hear today against sin, and there's precious little of it. But it centers upon the deeds of men. God doesn't start with the acts. He starts with the heart. Men knew God and they rejected Him. Men knew truth and they rejected it. Therefore, they are unrighteous. Then, because they are unrighteous, what they do becomes unrighteous. So how do I know that's right? Well, look at the contrast. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, right? But you got to have the Holy Spirit before you can have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is an evidence. It's a manifestation that the Holy Spirit lives inside. When you commit these things, look at Romans 1, 29, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. That is the fruit of an unholy spirit. See that? Now let's say tonight, and there's nobody here that would fall under this heading, but let's say tonight that there was a time in your life when you committed numerous acts of fornication. Verse 30, numerous acts of boasting. Verse 31, numerous acts of natural affection. So I preach against those things and you stop doing them. You're not saved. You're not lost because you're doing those things, and you don't get saved if you stop doing those things. Those things are just what people do who don't give their heart and mind and soul and spirit to God. The root is the problem. When old John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. He didn't say we need a new, we need to tear off the old leaves and get some new leaves on this tree. He didn't say we need to trim the branches back and let's see what happens, what come out next time. He said we got to get down to the very root and cut this thing down. Because the apple tree comes before the apple. The watermelon vine comes before the watermelon. So, well, no, don't you have to have a seed? No, you've got to read Genesis. God made the tree, and the tree produced fruit and then reproduced. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Genesis 1, the chicken. Which came first, the man or the baby? The man. Now, which came first, your sin problem or your sin? See, the deeds are secondary matter. The first matter is, God's in a man's heart and a man doesn't want him there. The knowledge of God is in a man's conscience and a man doesn't want him there. So if the schools can take Darwin's theory of evolution and drive God out, now they can have rape and molestation and murder and everything else in the school. And wonder, well, I wonder why these children are acting this way. They didn't used to act that way. Maybe it's their diet. No, you dummy. You complete, total dummy. If you take God out of their hearts and the fear of God out of their minds, they will start doing what comes naturally. And what comes naturally is a threat to everyone. That's the Bible. You kick the Bible out of the school, that's what you get in his place. What do you get? You can't wear a Jesus Saves shirt, but you can wear a hijab. You can wear a burqa. Because a Jesus Saves shirt might offend somebody, but a burqa wouldn't offend anybody but, you know, those two or three Christians that are left in the world. And they need to get tolerant. People messed up, man. What comes first is man's sinful refusal to walk in the light. What comes second are the deeds done in darkness. Now, further evidence of this is when a lost man argues against a Christian witness. And what do they say? They say, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I've never done this, I've never done that. What they don't say is, I love God. I believe in God. What is their argument? Their argument is, since I haven't done A, B, C, and D, you have no right to judge me or condemn me, because unless I do those things, I couldn't possibly be judged or condemned. The Bible says, see, all have come short of the glory of God. Let's just not even argue about whether or not you've sinned sufficiently to be called a sinner. You come short of God's glory. And for that you are lost. And for that you need to be redeemed. The other proof of this is when a new Christian, bless his heart, or an uninstructed Christian, bless his heart, begins to witness or begins to preach on the street. Normally, there's the nervousness, there's the excitement, there's the fear, there's the desire, and here comes the crowd, and what comes out of the man's mouth? You bunch of drunkards! You bunch of fornicators! Well, there's 50 people there. Can you prove they're all drunkards? There's 50 people over there. Can you prove they're all fornicators? Lying isn't going to help. And let's suppose you got them all to quit drinking, you got them all to quit fornicating, they're still going to die in their lost condition and go to hell. See, the message is not stop doing that. The message is, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because until you believe, until you trust, until you act upon the faith that God put inside you and move God's direction, you can't be saved and you can't stop sinning. Their misdeeds are not the problem. The trouble's not that they're lying or stealing. That's the fruit of the tree. The problem is an evil heart of unbelief. Now look, verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, wherein, verse 16, the gospel of Christ, the power of God, salvation to everyone that believeth. Jesus Christ is righteous. Man is not righteous. What's the evidence that Jesus Christ is righteous? His works. What's the evidence that man is not righteous? His works. Listen, Jesus didn't become righteous when he lived X number of months without sinning. He was righteous, therefore he lived his entire life without sinning. You're not unrighteous because you finally committed X number of sins. Those sins are committed because we are unrighteous. And the Bible says what we're not right about is the truth of God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Now, let me take you to the apparent contradiction. Romans 1, come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. First Corinthians 2, and verse number, let's start at verse number 11. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now if we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, what makes it possible for you to know the things of God? Not that there is a God, not that you're accountable to God, the things of God, it's His Spirit. So, 13, which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, so someone says, well, how can we know the things of God, Romans 1, but 1 Corinthians 2 says we can't know the things of God. Well, let's look at both of them. Let's look at what they say. This is the Bible's such a great book. Verse 14, but the natural man, that's what you are by birth. From the day you're born, you are a natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, what prevents this man from receiving the things, look, not of God, but the things of the Spirit of God? Psalm 14:1, Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you take the fool's approach to God, you never get the Holy Spirit. If you never get the Holy Spirit, you never get what the Holy Spirit could teach you if you had the Holy Spirit. You read the Bible, but you read it as a natural man. He says, well, I don't see that. And you go to church and people sing and people testify and people have a great time and people say amen when the preacher's preaching. So I don't see what's so great about all this. You can't see it. Because you have to have the Holy Spirit to see beyond there is a creator and you're accountable to him. And if you don't respond to that truth, You never get sufficient truth to put faith in the gospel. And if you never put faith in the gospel, you never get the Holy Spirit. And if you never get the Holy Spirit, you are not going to be able to understand the things that only the Holy Spirit could cause you to understand. Now, very important word. Look at verse 14. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot know the things that the Spirit of God teaches. Now, don't lose 1 Corinthians. Come back to Romans 1. And look at verse 19. Or 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth, so they've got it, in unrighteousness, so they don't put faith in it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 said can, that's ability. Romans 1 said may, that's permission. There's nothing in 1 Corinthians 2 about God, it's about the Spirit of God. And what's in Romans 1 is not about the Spirit of God, it's about God. So here's what the Lord said. Everyone that's born a natural man, I have given them a knowledge there is a God. I have given them an understanding that they are accountable to that God. We studied that in two lessons ago. If you will agree to those God-given truths, you may, see, God will grant you permission to enter into a fuller revelation of himself. If you take those two truths and say, I don't want to believe in God, I don't want to believe I'm accountable to God, I don't want to hear anything about this wrath and this judgment, then you cannot know anything else until you repent and go over there and believe the things God showed you by nature. If you'll believe what God gave you by nature, there's light, John 1, There's a God, Romans 1. You answer that God, Romans 1. If you'll believe that, he will give you permission to receive additional truth that will bring you to salvation and a life of faith. If you do not believe that, he puts you right over here in this category of cannot. You can't see it, you can't understand it, you can't receive it, you can't believe it. Okay, now, a Bible example from 1 Corinthians, and then a Bible example from Romans 1. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go back to our passage. And verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, lest you get out into some thing about trying to figure out the numeric code of the consonants in the Bible, or get out there trying to figure out something, if I hold the Bible upside down and read it sideways, I'll see the truth about the Great Pyramid. That's not, look, when he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, how big a mystery is it if he's speaking it and telling you what it is? How big a mystery is it if he's writing down the explanation for you? So what's the mystery? Look at verse number 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, so watch. Here's the great mystery. Jesus says, I'm God manifest in the flesh. The prophets said if God manifest in the flesh ever showed up, he would walk on water, he would give sight to the blind, he would cleanse lepers, and Jesus comes and he does all those things. And I said, we don't believe it, we don't believe it, we don't believe it. You know what God said? It's a mystery to the princes of the world, not because it wasn't explained to them and preached to them and showed to them. It was a mystery to them because they didn't believe it. Well, I just don't see it. I don't see how this could be. It's not a mystery because it's unknowable. It's a mystery because they didn't believe it when God made it known to them. Maybe some of you like to read mystery novels or books, or maybe you did in your past. Maybe when you were a child. I know our kids, man, the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and all that, they'd read all these mysteries. Now, what if you read halfway through the book and then I said to my kids, so how'd that turn out? Oh, it's a mystery. Well, who was the bad guy? No way of knowing. Finish the book. If you don't know who done it in the whodunit, it's because you either didn't finish the story or you finished it and said, I don't think that's what really happened. Right? Well, if the gospel is a mystery to you, it's either because you didn't finish reading the book or because you read it and you said, well, I don't believe that. So it's not a mystery because you can't know it. It's a mystery because you don't want to know it. None of the princes of the world knew that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Well, he told them, he showed them, he proved it, he rose from the dead. How can they not know it? Because they didn't want it. See? If you don't believe what God shows you, then he locks you into a place where you can't believe anything else because he's not going to show you anything else. Keep reading in 1 Corinthians verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now that's a quotation from the Old Testament. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hadn't entered the heart of man things that God hath prepared for him. That's Isaiah 64:4. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Book of Job in the Old Testament says, man dieth, where is he? You know what the New Testament Christian knows? If I have a massive heart attack in the next 2 minutes, I will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. That's where I'll be. The rapture takes place tonight. This body shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. This vile body will put on a new, incorruptible fashion and be made like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will meet you around the throne of God and we will worship at the feet of the Lamb. I know exactly where I'm going. I know what I'm going to be doing. I know what's going to happen to me on the way there. I know what's going to happen to me after I get there. Why? Because if you believe what God tells you about the gospel, then you get to believe everything else God tells you about a life of faith in this world and in the world to come. But if you don't believe that, you just sit around reading science journals and watching documentaries and saying, where do the dead go? You're stuck 5,000 years in the past because you don't believe what God said in his book. It's not that you can't know, it's that you don't want to know. Now watch this in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. You wouldn't even have to discuss this 20 years ago. But here we are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. We know that. 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed truth of God into a lie. Verse 26, God gave them over to vile affections. Even the women had changed the natural use into that which is its nature. 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned their lust one toward another. Now, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 2 said, you know by nature that a man's constructed a certain way and a woman's constructed a certain way and they're constructed that way for a certain purpose. You know that. But if you raise your children on Hollywood and you allow your children to be educated by people that believe they came from monkeys and apes, you're going to end up with a society that thinks it's normal, rational behavior for a father and a mother to not know if they have a son or a daughter. Come on, do you understand? Just 10 years ago, if a parent of a child said, a lost parent, said to an unsaved parent, "Is this your son? I don't know. He thinks he's a girl. He might be a girl." Everybody from sea to shining sea would have thought, that guy's a whack job. There is something... How can you raise a child and you don't know if your son is a son or a daughter? But you know what that Bible says? The farther you push God away, the more completely unreasonable you become. The more you don't want the knowledge of God, the more you outrun the animals. You do things that the beasts of the field would never do. Here's a bunch of elk, and it's the rut season, and there's two bucks out there fighting for who's going to have the supremacy over the herd, and one of the females runs out there. I mean, no antlers, no parts top or bottom, and all the other elk say, "What's going on?" "Oh, she identifies as a bull. She's going to get her head caved in. And if she wins, the herd's going to die." Look, you understand, when you are supposed to pretend that educated, intelligent, rational people allow boys and girls to wait and decide what gender they are, you're just waving a flag and saying to the principalities and powers of the air, "Look how stupid we are." You don't even have to come and tempt us anymore. We'll just throw ourselves in hell. I mean, it's beyond... Look, you thought in the 60s that all of this shacking up outside of marriage, it couldn't go any farther than that. Where could it go? Well, I'll tell you where it went. It went to unrestrained practice and then acceptance of homosexual behavior. And then once you're supposed to view that as being normal, now you got boys who are girls and girls who are boys. And if you have a problem with that, you're the problem. And everybody's acting like this is some new bizarre thing. The Holy Ghost of God wrote about it in Romans chapter number 1. He said you would go beyond what was natural into what was unnatural. And when you got bored with that, you'd go beyond unnatural. That's where you are. If the rapture doesn't come or God doesn't wipe this Western civilization off the map, you're going to end up right where the Muslim countries are. You are going to have full acceptance of pedophilia. You are. You are. In the Muslim world, there's no restraint upon the man in defiling boys. It's part of the culture. Who don't believe that? I know, because you watch the news. You watch Hollywood. Talk to any soldier that's done a tour of duty in a Muslim country, and they'll tell you that's the fact. Oh, that's horrible. That's awful. Look, if all that counts is some talking head on a TV set mouthing off about genetic predisposition and born a certain way, then there's no, all bets are off. Throw out God, you throw out the Bible, then you got to let everything in. Who are you to decide where we draw the line? Only God gets to draw the line. You get rid of God, there are no lines. Hate to even have to say those things. I got saved 1976. This is a fact. We all drove around boxes of cassette tapes full of sermons, and we saw some company that printed tracks. We'd order every single track they had, and you sit up all night and read all those tracks, and you ride around and listen to all those sermons. There wasn't one sermon you could find in the United States of America about Islam or homosexuality. Because there didn't need to be. Why would you need to preach against that? Who in their right mind would join a religion that spreads its faith by killing people and that treats women worse than slaves? And who would even think about doing that stuff? See, now here's what I'm telling you. It's proof of what we're saying. You could not get on TV in 1980 and say, bring in hundreds of thousands of Muslims into Western Europe and in the United States and build mosques everywhere. And you couldn't have said, let's have parades for pedophiles. You can't introduce the deed. What you have to do is teach evolution and criticize the Bible from morning to noon to night. You have to get people to not believe in God. And if you can get a generation to not believe in God, the misdeeds will follow as a natural consequence. And that's what's happened. Now, verse 19 of Romans 1 says, because that which may be known of God, and the phrase could be understood as that which may be known about God, or it could be understood as that which may be known only as it's revealed by God. But here's the things that God has given to everyone. We covered this before. A trinity of persons in the Godhead. Christ is the God-man and one mediator. Jesus' incarnation, sufferings, death, resurrection, and the manner of worship acceptable to God. These vital truths are prime examples of that which requires revelation. You know there's a God, you don't know He's a Trinity. You know there's a God, you don't know He's manifest in the flesh. You know there was a God, you don't know that in that body of flesh He died on the cross to pay for your sins. You know there's a God, but you don't know there's only one acceptable form of worship. But if you don't believe in God, you'll never know those things. And if you do believe in God, He is going to reveal the truth about Himself to you because He said He would bring you from faith to faith. And this is why, and bless your hearts, I'm not trying to be critical, I'm not. Anybody's doing anything right, I'm for them. I told my wife this afternoon, I was coming to church this morning, and you don't think it's crazy. I was coming to church this morning, and there's no preacher on the radio anywhere. There's no Bible on the radio anywhere. I found a station playing Elvis singing gospel hymns. Now I'm telling you, he was knocking them out, man. No drums, no wild music. He was coming to the garden alone while the dew was still on the roses, and I said to my wife, I said, there's so many things I used to preach against that I wish we had back. You know, there was a time when there were enough saved people left in this country that an unsaved country singer could put out a gospel album because it would sell. Now they put out a faith album and never mention God or Jesus Christ. They just mention upstairs and above and light and warmth and feel good. And I used to complain about all the sorry preachers that were on the radio. I wish we had some crummy preachers on the radio. You understand what I'm saying? It's pretty bad when you got to go back to the 1950s and Elvis and the Jordanaires to hear a Christian song on the radio on a Sunday morning in the South. Now, here's what I was going to say. What you have conservative groups, and you have religious groups, and you have moral groups, and what they're doing is they are trying to get people to stop doing so many bad things. Romans 1 said you are trying to prune the branches of a rotten tree. Why would people do good things if there's no wrath of God against bad things? Why would people restrain themselves? Why would people control themselves? Why would people repent of anything if there's no God to call them into account? Here's what you got from your mother or your father or your Sunday school teacher or your pastor, or after you got saved, what you got from the Bible. You walk into a room and there's a purse and there's nobody around. You know why you don't take that purse? Because you believe in God. That's why you don't take that purse. If you don't believe in God, you take the purse. If you get caught, you blame your economic condition. If you get caught, you blame the third grade bully. If you get caught, you blame the rich. It's not fair that woman has a purse full of money and you don't have a purse full of money. You're oppressed. Look, if there's no book written by God that says thou shalt not steal, take everything you can get your hands on. Well, what about judgment day? What judgment day? If there is a God, he's all love. Why, I went to church and the worship team leader was living with the third man that she'd been living with in the last year. She told me God is love. And the youth worker, he's a druggie. But he told us God is love. And the pastor, he's a reprobate. But he told us God is love. See, the sins are not the problem. The sins are the end result of the problem. And the problem is that people in the school and people in the government and people in the church and people in their car and people in their living room do not like to retain God in their knowledge. And without God, there's no restraint. Now, what's manifest in them? There is a God. There's only one God. He's glorious and full of majesty. He's wise and righteous and powerful. Everybody knows that. Now, let's look at some verses here. We'll head down the home stretch here this evening. Job 32. Job chapter 32. This verse is not about a man in the USA that grew up in church. This verse is about any man anywhere on the face of the earth. Job 32. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. See that? Now that's not enough for you to get saved, but that's enough for you to move in that direction. And if you have that and you push it away, you have nothing left but darkness and perversion. Amen. Now, before we read just a few more verses, let me say, maybe there's somebody here tonight, you just tuned me out, you said, I don't agree with this, I don't believe this. Okay, here's what, you don't agree with this, you don't believe this. When you lock your car behind you when you get in it, I want to know why. When you get to the parking lot and you park under a bright light and as near to the door as you can, I want to know why. When you get home and you lock your door and deadbolt it and then put a chain on it, I want to know why. When you have multiple secret passwords for your bank accounts and your personal information, I want to know why. Everything you do proves that what I've said tonight is correct. But if you push it away because you don't like that whole God thing, you're just joining in with the people you're afraid of. Because they've made your life so dangerous because they don't believe in God. All right, Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter number 3, 1, 2, 3, 4 verses, no 5, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 3 verse number 7, 5 verses in sequence. They would be a sermon in themselves, but we give you a buffet every night. We don't We don't give you a little burger and some fries. We give you a buffet. Amen. Luke chapter 3, verse number 6. And four. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Who's God interested in saving? All flesh. All flesh. Verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, a serpent's your daddy. That's what he said. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You know why they came out there to be baptized of John? Not because they liked John, not because they liked John's crowd, not because they particularly wanted to get under the water. They were fleeing, they were running, because they believed there was wrath to come. Now look, who's John says? John says, Messiah's coming, the Savior's coming, Messiah's coming, the salvation of God is coming. Who's getting ready for the salvation of God? The people who believe in the wrath of God. You see that? Messiah's coming. Well, what are you doing here? Well, we want to get baptized. Why? We're fleeing the wrath to come. If you don't preach wrath, if you don't believe in wrath, nobody's coming to Jesus. These modern ministers are scared to death of offending anybody. They are kicking people right into hell. You didn't get saved because you loved Jesus. You love Jesus now because he saved you. You got saved because you didn't want the wrath of God. You get a nation full of people who don't believe in the wrath of God. You can't give them tracts. You can't witness to them. You can't get in their house when you knock on their door. You're hateful. You're judgmental. You're mean-spirited. You're condemning. Where'd they get that language? Hollywood, the school system, and their pastors. The people that came to John to get ready for the Messiah were people fleeing from the wrath to come. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse number 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. You know what the Bible said? If you don't talk about the wrath of God, you're a deceiver and your words are empty. They're meaningless. If anybody tells you there is no wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, they are a deceiver and they are speaking vain words. And they might have the biggest TV ministry in the world. If they don't warn you about the wrath of God, how would you know if you're disobedient if it's not spelled out for you? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. And here's the song the fellows sang tonight. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. I am, are you? We shall be saved from wrath through him. You know what his blood saved me from? The wrath of God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse number 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Have you been saved by the power of God through the gospel? You got the Holy Ghost? Sure that you're saved? Verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Let's go back to the start. We got one more verse, but let's go back to the start. How do you know this is true? Christ died for my sins. Hallelujah. They're paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But in day-to-day reality, neither you nor I are saved from our sins. Not yet. Not yet. They're paid for. They're forgiven. I'm justified. But in case you haven't noticed, I'm still sinning. In case you haven't noticed, you're still sinning. Praise God, He's going to come one day and He is going to completely forever save me from my sins. But I'll tell you what He's already done. He's already saved me from the wrath to come. There is therefore now no condemnation. I am not a child of wrath. I'm a child of God. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness. Thank God for that. Verse 5, you're all children of the light, children of the day. Thank God for that. Verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, amen, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Now, barring the rapture, I can't escape my appointment with death. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this a judgment. Praise God. I may die, you may die. But I'll tell you one appointment I will not have to keep. My appointment with the wrath of God. Praise the Lord. So there I was. See, I was on the book, and it had my name. It said James Knox, date, White Throne Judgment. And there I was right there. I had an appointment. I had to stand at the White Throne Judgment, purpose, receive the wrath of God. There it was. But the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, God the Father said, you can cancel that appointment. Go ahead and cancel that appointment. He won't be there. I am no longer appointed under wrath, but to obtain salvation. See, I'm saved, and I'm going to, one day I'm going to be saved from all this junk I'm doing, and even greater, from what's in here that makes me do it. So, politely, graciously, you need to tell that world about the wrath of God. If they believe in God, they'll respond to that. If they don't believe in God, they'll fly off the handle and call you names and everything else. And you, well, I wouldn't like that. Well, a lot of things happen in life we don't like, but some of them are necessary. And it's necessary to tell the world the gospel. The gospel. So I just believe keeping it positive, telling people the gospel. Christ died for our sins. You can't get through the first part of the gospel without offending lost people. But I'm glad there's a way of escape from wrath. I hate to see what's happened to my country. I guess you hate to see what's happened to your country. But the Bible says it's happened because we just push God away. Push God away. We don't want God. We don't want God. We don't want God. And until people want God again, you're not going to fix the mess that's going on out there. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for a place to meet on a Sunday night with our brothers and sisters in Christ, like-minded, like precious faith. Lord, thank you for this holy Bible, showing us the truth, showing us the way. Help us, God, this week be good witnesses for you. Have a lot of people traveling, going to see their family and their kinfolk and their loved ones, and pray, God, that you'd give many precious opportunities to witness and be a week of salvation for many. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.